This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, meeting of the Employee Assembly, 12:19 p.m. Any late additions to the agenda? I have two items that I'd like to add under new business. We want to have a discussion about, I don't know if people have seen the Cornell Daily Sun and the student assembly's resolution on the appointment of Grant Farid as the chair of the Africana Faculty Search Committee, but I wanted to just bring that up. And also, Gary forwarded to me a new program, an event that's going to be happening in December on Town Gown Awards and Recognition, so he wanted to bring that to us, so I'm adding those to the new business portion of the agenda. So moving on to approval of minutes, we have the minutes from last meeting to approve, and we also have a correction that came in on the meeting minutes prior, so if we can take a quick look at this past meeting's minutes.
Well,
no, the correction is the 10-5 from the 10-5 minutes, the meeting prior.
It's an amendment.
Approval to amend.
Yeah.
And then secondly, an approval to amend the last minute.
I move that we amend the minutes from 10-5.
So the
amendment.
So the I was looking at the new meeting minutes first.
Oh, well, I know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So has everyone looked at the new meeting minutes?
Mm-hmm. Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Any no's? Any abstentions? Okay. And then on the 10-5 minutes, Lavanya had added a note that was missed. She talked about the discrepancy between tuitions charged for the staff education program candidates, employee degree program candidates across summer regular semesters and the different schools at Cornell, and that I had indicated that there are issues like this which need to be handled by the education committee and therefore we need to staff one. So we'd like to add that to the minutes. Does any
I move.
Second?
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Moving right along. So Bridget, I didn't read the journal, so I don't know if you can paraphrase what was in the journal about the TCAP changes.
Well, I thought it was a very timely article. They will be changing the bus route and eliminating some of them and also increasing the rates for some of the out-of-county routes. And I don't know if anybody else had a chance to read the article. Yeah. Any additional thoughts?
They confirmed that the Route 52, which is the one that we talked about, was not going to go into Tioga County, and it said because Tioga County doesn't pay for it. Rates are going up for out of the probably the town limit from 150 to 250. All of this is scheduled to start in January. The good news from our perspective from at my house is that the bus that goes past our house is reducing from every 30 minutes to every 60. It would be great for us, but probably not so much for the riders.
David Lee came to the infrastructure meeting yesterday, and he is on the TCAP board as a Cornell representative and knows all things TCAP, it seems. He did say that because we brought up the Route 52 issue, that TCAP and Tioga County are in he thinks productive conversations about how to address that Route 52, either through a park and ride or Tioga County bringing riders to Tompkins County and then like picking up Tompkins County people, doing the Tompkins County thing here. But he did say, I mean, the reason it's dropped is there, you know, Tioga County's not funding it, and it just seems beyond the mission of TCAT to fund that route when it's not being supported by Tioga County, which is what they had to do with the Schuyler County but they have then had park and rides in place since then. So he thought there were there was some light at the end of the tunnel there for the Route 52 people, and basically said that TCAT is really in a hole financially, mainly because the state keeps keeps cutting back on their funding for TCAT, even though the state, like Hudson County, gets a lot of state money compared to others because there are so many riders, but they just can't keep supporting things that, in a sense, are outside of their mission. So,
did you report back to Anne Marie on that?
Yeah, I'm going to. I told her I would get back to her. She couldn't join us today, and I'd asked her if she'd had any more information on how many riders this affected, and I haven't heard anything back. But I did bring it up with Mary as well, who essentially said that, you know, years ago when Cornell and TCAT and the county made this kind of partnership, there was a lot of surplus money, and Cornell was giving them, remember we used to have the Cornell buses, so we were giving them our buses and things like that, and they had a nice chunk of change in the bank. Well, the cost of running the buses and the gas and whatnot has gone up, so they no longer have those extra stores, which is why a lot of these changes are happening as well. And they keep asking, you know, they want more money from Cornell. Cornell is not in a financial position at this point to give that to them, for many obvious reasons. So that's kind of why some of these things are happening as well. But she brought that up. Any other thing on TCAT? Joe Lally will be joining us at, I think, our November 29th meeting, I think. So, or whatever that last meeting of November is. So, we'll have more from him then. Next, the President's Address location. So, we've looked at a bunch of different places. Actually, I should say Amy has looked at some different places, and we talked about it in the executive committee. One of the places that had come up was Barnes Hall, which we thought would be a great central campus location, could fit quite a few people. They have just told Amy that they can't accommodate us for that date. Milstein Hall, the trustees had their event there. Apparently, it's incredibly uncomfortable and not a great space. Mary said we should not do it in Milstein. Because there's
well, there's a whole bunch of the seating is just kind of like bench sitting like, with back.
Yeah, it's she said it's an awkward space. So, she said
yeah,
we may not
spend all that money.
So she didn't think that would be the
for staff or not the awkward space for board of trustees.
Well, she just said it wasn't a comfortable space. So. Comfortable, and I guess the way it's set up is not an easy space for the
I think for a 45 minute conversation, I can't imagine I wouldn't want to sit there for 3 hours.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But for 45 minutes and I'm getting free lunch at the end, I think that'd be a cool
well, maybe that's an option for next year.
Barnes is not an option. Hall Auditorium is not an option. G10 Biotech only seats 200 people, so that is kind of small.
Because all these other places are not an option, what's going on in them during those days? Is it just
classes?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the
Was there some other big events going on that we're trying to compete with?
In the past, we've held the event over fall break. And that's not happening this year. So there are classes in session. Mm-hmm. And in Barnes Hall, there is an event, and students will be in there rehearsing, and they'll be doing piano tuning and things like that, so they could not give us the space. Leslie has been able to secure Annabelle Taylor for us as an option, and I've been able to secure the Schwartz Center as an option. I don't know if anybody else has done any legwork in looking for other options.
I can offer, what is the day and time?
It is November 28th, so the Monday after the Thanksgiving break, essentially from 12 to 1, is when we need to be in there a little early to set up and a little after to break down.
I can offer Bailey, but as you said before, it's too big. But we can if no one else can.
How much?
If we only put people on the floor, that...
and not let
still,
them go up.
It's still huge.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Valley's really nice.
How many does Valley fit?
1,300.
So that's three times the size of where we were at the Schwartz. So just to give people an idea, it will, if we end up with 300 people, it will look pretty empty. And I'm fine with that. If
Anything under like 600, it seems like a giant cave.
But if we're putting it in Bailey, people might be more likely to come because it's easier to get to. Mm-hmm.
It's an option if you want.
Well, we need to decide today, so what do people think?
Let's vote on it.
We can't do real
time. You decide on who we're going to give the award to, what thing to do.
Because
that means, wait a second, how many people will come?
So far, the only thing on the table is what we had talked about before.
And Milstein's completely off?
Milstein seats 200 and...
25, maybe. It's not
very good. Yes. Fairly small, and Beth is not here today, but they weren't able to confirm for her if we could definitely have it. But we could keep it as a second option. That can talk to Beth.
But we need to get PR on that.
Yes, right. That's why we need to decide today. Bill, one question: would you be able to do microphone and all that? I'm assuming I know you can, but can you?
Yes, we'll be set to go. PowerPoint, whatever you want.
Okay. So, Schwartz, Annabelle, or Bailey?
And all three of them are no cost.
Is Bailey cost? Okay. Annabelle's free, and so is the Schwartz.
How many seats does Annabelle have? Could have told you if you hadn't asked me. I think it's not any bigger than Schwartz. It might be smaller than Schwartz.
Well, so that's the downstairs room and you...
No, it's up there. Chairs. It's an actual auditorium.
Oh, okay.
And we have a screen and we have sound system and all that. But the problem with that auditorium is it's flat, so it doesn't have tiered seating. So it's not as easy to see if you're in the back to see the stage.
And we've historically had a couple hundred?
Yeah. Depending on who the award has gone to, we've had... I would say in the neighborhood of between 250 and 300.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
probably
300. Yeah. Sports. I'm going to abstain because I will be out of town on the day.
I can still vote.
Well, I don't want to commit all of you and the people to something that I don't.
All right. So, voting. All in favor of Bailey.
Are we doing like you can vote more than once?
No, pick your first option. I mean,
vote for one.
Okay. Does anybody have a strong feeling for any of the locations?
I like Bailey.
Okay.
So what's the experience for the group if you're in something where you've got less than 300 people and you know, is it a good experience for the speaker and the group? The
speaker is going to be, their perception is speaking to an empty hall.
Uh-huh.
It's not optimal. For the people in there, it's fine because you can move everyone down into the front area, so you're close to the speakers. It's just large.
Because it would always block off the sides though in the back. Yeah, more towards the middle and the front.
It's regardless of where you see people to the speaker, it's you're looking out at a clump of people amongst a bunch of empty people. I don't know who's speaking.
David Scorton.
And he's been in there a million times, and we know him, and he knows us. So it's not great, but it will absolutely suit your needs.
Is there a space that we can set up food?
Only for invited people, and if it's under 150 people.
Is there any lobby space then that we could just set up sandwiches so that people can take in with them or take out. I don't know if Bailey allows eating in there.
No food in.
So could they take it when they left? So is there room for like a couple each at the table that people grab the sandwich and drink and take it?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the lobby area.
Yeah.
It's not, the lobby does not hold more than, I would say, 100 people comfortably.
People tend to not
let
me
be passing through.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm being negative, but I'm just being honest.
We want you to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to try Bailey. I mean, I personally have a bias for the Sports Center, but because it's such a warm and friendly space.
That's my...
And people were, I mean, and it looks filled up.
Right.
You know, so, but I think it's worth trying a central location to see if we get more people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had hoped Barnes would be a perfect option, but
right.
That didn't pan out.
And I just like, the only reason I like Bailey more is because if we're going in the winter, I feel like it'd be easier trek for me to get to Bailey yesterday. And going through the bridge and all.
Tell about you, Bruce.
It's something good.
I'm gonna try and stay quiet because I know where my preference is. But
many people might feel your way. Right. Yeah.
November. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is the bus? Is there a bus stop at Bailey?
No. The closest bus is at the
Trillium. But it's all flat and really nicely shoveled and paved.
But there's stairs going up, right? How does
there is
the accessible entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around the back?
Mm-hmm. To the side, closer to space science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As well as parking, if anybody needed to park.
There's an accessible spot at the Big Red Barn that's usually gone.
Yeah.
There are some
in front of the CCC and there's some over by
Warren.
Is there any parking near Bailey at all?
Not usually.
I'm just wondering what we've been able to do in the past at the Schwartz is we've reserved spots for people who need to drive.
If that's not an option at Bailey, then I think that has to be a huge consideration.
Well, if people could pull up and drop people off, but not park.
Yeah, it is a problem for our performances as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many people typically...
There was two or three.
Was that just because it was at the Schwartz?
Could have been.
The one person I know came from ILR.
And there's, you know, a hill over there at ILR. Maybe they could get over by themselves. Yeah.
Well, there's two spots. Like, there's drop-off spots in front of Roberts. We probably could ask permission for that hour for if someone needed it. I'm sure that would work.
So, does anyone have any strong objection to Bailey? And can everyone commit to being there early to help set up and greet people and get people in?
Come be there early to help me.
And wear your red shirt.
There's a class until 11.
Okay.
But we can turn it around.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I just want to make sure that people can be there, you know, 11:30 or whatnot to do what needs to happen.
So, please, the food.
Did everybody get their shirts to wear?
I have.
Amy has them all.
So everyone in favor of Bailey Hall? All right. Bailey Hall it is.
Yay.
From November 28th.
November 28th, Bailey Hall.
Noon.
Noon.
I'll put it on the calendar.
Thank you. And Mary also wants us to have it live streamed. So, and she said that she would help us with that. Amy looked back, yes. Amy, Mary feels it's important that it's streamed live. So if people can't get there, they can see it.
We can do that easily. It may cause technical fees.
Right.
So do you know, do you have people that you use to do that?
Yeah.
So can you find out how much it would be and let me know?
$500.
$80 an hour or something like that.
Okay.
Last time they went into it, it was
like
600 and something.
Yeah,
I was quoted 500.
We do it frequently enough. We have the infrastructure, so we don't have to bring in cameras and all that sort of thing. So we just
So if you could just shoot me an email and let me know an estimate of what it would be, that would be really helpful, and we can get the ball rolling on that piece as well, because we'd want to advertise it's going to be live streamed as well.
When you work with Marianne, when you get the call, can you just get her account number to get the bill instead of going through ours? And
Journal?
Thank you.
Speaking of account numbers, are we ready to move on to
Account numbers, huh?
The President's Award.
Oh. So the EA's award at the President's Address to Staff. I mentioned something a couple weeks ago at one of our last meetings. All right. So, Bridget, you want to talk about the January retreat?
Sure.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. We did a poll, and looks like January 4th is the most popular date in the morning. But now we'd like to look at some suggestions about locations and topics we want to touch on. Anybody have any suggestions for topics?
We're talking about a 4-hour
time period, yeah.
Well, one of the things I was going to talk about when I did my committee report was we keep tossing around the idea of having EA surveys, you know, measuring perception of the EA, how to communicate with the, you know, how our communication methods work with staff members, that kind of stuff. So just some general information that we want to get from the staff about the employee assembly. So one of the things we could do at the retreat, and when we talked about, I've been having conversations with the institutional research survey. Place. And anyway, she suggested, you know, we could spend an hour, 45 minutes or whatever, talking, refining the survey questions and figuring out what we want to get out of the survey. So that's a suggestion. I don't know what I wanted to bring up to the group, you know, if we all felt we still wanted to do the survey.
Any other thoughts for retreat besides survey?
There's some beautiful rooms in the new building on East Avenue, the one next to Clark Hall, that just overlook the valley, and if it's just us, we can easily fit in there, and they are gorgeous.
So, do you know what the rooms are? Can you...
No, I can go up there and look.
Yeah, if you could look and just shoot an email and...
I had to go there one day for something.
Yeah, that would be great. I think on campus would be perfect.
If we're going to do lunch, we'll probably have to order in. I think all dining places will probably be...
Yeah. Did we have things that we were going to do at our last retreat?
I'll have to look back at what was on that list. I don't have it with me.
I know we had talked about the possibility of doing the student noticing.
Right. So
I'm actually not going to be able to make that date now because I'm taking a very needed vacation with my husband this week.
Okay.
But I can help to arrange it.
Yeah, I could talk to those guys too.
Yeah.
What is that exactly?
The notice and respond?
Yeah.
It's the group that does those programs, you know, noticing a person in distress.
Right.
We saw the general version. They've done another version, so they wanted to give an update.
I just wonder how people feel about that.
Like, well, Okay. I'm just
brainstorming.
Just brainstorming.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Other thoughts?
Why do I have Jim? Have Jim Sheridan now?
Yeah. No? He's a facilitator. Okay. Well, I think what might be good is, you know, if people have other suggestions, throw them out. But I would imagine by that point we will probably have some information from the staff engagement survey, so we may want to center some of our discussions around that.
Mm-hmm.
But if people have other ideas of things.
Do we have budget things we need to discuss or not really?
I don't know that we have budget things.
No, it can't be quality.
We have no account number, so just can come to talk.
So we think about a calendar for the next year. So if we wanted the presidential address, let's say in the fall, that we could work on that invitation. If we're going to do the the auction again, that mm-hmm. we could choose a date and decide on that. So yep. maybe we could look at a calendar mm-hmm. of events. And
another possibility, too, is the rewards and recognition team mm-hmm. moving forward with some recommendations relatively soon. And I think that they're looking at what we're doing. So maybe
yeah.
Kathy Berkman can come in
yeah.
and talk a little bit about that. Would be a good.
Other immediate thoughts? If you think of other things, pass them along, and we'll start to shape an agenda. Okay, so report from the chair on my meeting with Mary. Bridget couldn't be there with us, sorry. And Beth's not here today, but essentially we talked a little bit about what some of the committees will be doing, and Jeannie's not here today. But I talked a little bit about our discussion on the bereavement policy, and she encouraged us to be really broad in our language and not be very specific to if it's a spouse or a child or whatnot, but to be very broad because that's the best way to kind of get things into policy. I also talked to her a little bit about what you had brought up, Lavanya, about the educational, the tax discrepancies. And, you know, we started talking about the Johnson School and how, you know, a lot of those are federal and state tax implications. It's not Cornell. So there may not be much that we can do, but she was looking forward to hearing what we had to say on those things. And we also talked a little bit about the transportation stuff and the HR rewards and recognition program that they're looking at. So I can kind of jump into that a little bit. There's a committee that Linda is on with HR people from across campus, mm-hmm. and they're looking at a rewards and recognition program for staff, kind of acknowledging that there isn't a whole lot out there. So some of the things that they're looking at, and Linda, jump in with me, they're looking at some individual awards, like an individual excellence mm-hmm. award, a kind of supervisor or team leader award, a caring community award, and a president's award, and then also a team award. So those would all be individual awards, and also a team award as the president's award for change and innovation. So some of the things that they're looking at basing these primarily on the university's core values, the staff skills for success wording there. So they'll be looking at those, and they're in the process of putting together some processes. I threw out there to them that there, you know, these are a lot of great kind of bigger awards, but it would be nice to have something a little bit smaller that it's just, you know, that could happen on a monthly basis or something like that, so we can get more people acknowledging that it's a simpler thing rather than kind of a big award as well. So I passed that along, but they're definitely looking at some nice awards. And I don't know if you want
to. Is there a way to, I wonder, partner with them on our kudos?
Well, that was one right. of the things when they were mm-hmm. talking about, like, kind of the individual awards. Mm-hmm. They said, well, EA really already has some award that could be recognized, a team in the president's
right.
address. I shared with them what we were doing, and they were interested in looking at ways that we might be able to work together mm-hmm. where, you know, some of their ideas maybe we could just look at our awards and how we want to beef them up maybe mm-hmm. a little bit on the EA side, but we can help to cross promote them.
Yeah, because we're not
support each other.
Right. For some reason, it's just not kudos isn't really taken off.
Right.
You know, so
that's what I shared, that's why I thought it might be nice for Kathy to come in and
right.
she kind of said, well, these ones seem to be ones people are interested in, and we're, you know, are you guys interested in maybe just mm-hmm. beefing up kudos
right.
and having it be the individual excellence award
mm-hmm.
and having
mm-hmm.
our rewards and recognition group looking through the applications, making the decisions, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I really think there's room for partnership, because I know rewards
yeah.
and recognition has always been, since I've been here, something that we've talked about as a group that we need to do more for staff.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that that's peer-based.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're also looking at awards that different units across campus, like facilities or buildings care, has an awards program that they do. So looking at some of those is, you know, kind of feeders into some of these big awards and things, but trying to see what is already out there on campus as well. So they're really thinking about how they can kind of recognize the contributions of staff members. And looking at low cost, no cost rewards, which is a big thing. So it's not a dollar amount award, but it's a recognition. And then the UA meeting. All right. Bridget, do you remember we talked about at the UN? Because I just lost my piece of paper.
Unfortunately, I wasn't there. That was a meeting
that I had. Who was there? Bridget, were you there?
Briefly.
And let me find my... Oh, here, okay. Sorry. So some of the things they talked about is the three committees, the codes and judicials, the campus welfare, and the infrastructure committees. They're just starting to get up and running, so people probably, if you're on those committees, you should have started to receive kind of emails to schedule meetings. Have people gotten emails?
I haven't gotten anything for campus welfare.
Okay, he said he's still trying to schedule it.
Yeah, we're having a hard time with that.
I think if they're trying to schedule it, they'd be getting a hold of people to try to schedule it.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I thought
they
were doing
a doodle poll. But
I must not be on their list. So I don't know. But, you know, email's been really busy lately.
So codes and judicials, looks like they established a meeting time for 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, yes. Campus welfare, they're still trying to schedule, but... they're talking about issues around diversity and inclusion, a status update in the child care center, and the staff survey were things that they were talking about. The campus infrastructure committee, who's on that one?
We've met twice.
Yep, I was going to say, so they've met. I don't know if you have any other updates other than the transportation.
So we were looking at how we could talk about the sustainability, be interested in that, and we have a lot of ideas our first time around, so we're still trying to figure out where we want to focus focus our thoughts. But somebody mentioned something about the impact of Tlali, and that might be something the infrastructure group is interested in talking about. David, are you on it?
I didn't make the meeting yesterday, but I read all the notes that came out from it, and Ayla and Olaf are going to remain free.
Yay.
That's what I thought before. They're not, so.
Isn't there already a feature?
Olaf's not free.
Olaf, it was A and another one.
I was going to say, Olaf's not free.
There was one other one.
Maybe like B.
It's a B, B or
something.
B-golf. There's one up by the vet school.
That's Olaf. Yeah, it's only free if you, like, ride share with
people. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Was that, they didn't talk about that when I was there, so that might have been, was that?
Seeing all the emails I got today from them, yeah.
I didn't see
kind of like revamping the retirement parking system, handicap parking system.
Oh, that was a presentation that David didn't actually end up doing, so we just sent the presentation. I haven't seen that yet.
One of the things that Mary had also mentioned on the handicap parking thing is that, people who do take advantage of handicapped parking permits on campus will pay the lowest parking price. They won't be charged the rate that would be for that lot, but they would be charged the lowest paid parking. So that was a little bit different. And then the last thing, President Scorton came and spoke with the group. Talked about his discussion with trustee council, that they're really focusing on faculty renewals, faculty hires, need-based scholarships, public engagement, and internationalization of the university. He talked about the humanities building that is primarily coming from philanthropy. They have 75% of that money already raised. And this is going to be the first dedicated building for the humanities since 1705 or something like that. 1905.
Yeah, we didn't
know
until they.
Yeah, I know. I got to spell better. I guess not. Let's see. The tech campus proposal was being submitted.
Has been.
Has been. Well, at that time it was being. They approved an increase of our our capital campaign goal, they've approved an increase to $4.75 billion. And we are 90% of the way to a balanced budget. And in this past Friday's Chronicle, there was an update on how they're going to get the last 10% away. So that's what he brought to the meeting. And then lastly, I had another meeting, the President's Committee on Family, President's Advisory Committee on Family Life. And one of the big things that came out of, they talked a lot about child care issues and they're really focusing on being flexible, having flexible workplace, flexible schedules. We spent a bit of time talking about the issues surrounding late afternoon and early morning meetings and how that's not very conducive for family life, work-life balance. So trying to, looking at ways to have meetings during the workday as opposed to at 5 o'clock at night kind of thing. So that's probably a little more of an impact on faculty, but something that they're looking at. That's all I have.
Good job.
Thanks. Leslie, you want to talk about ComCom?
Yeah, we have our first meeting on Friday at noon in Day Hall, if anybody would like to attend. I'm trying to develop an agenda, and I'm wondering, Amy, do you need help with the, I don't remember what we did last year, publicizing the president's address to staff? I know you have some stuff on your ticker list,
yeah,
but...
Okay,
do we...
Facebook
ad,
didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Facebook ad, and then some emails, but I'm wondering if there's anything you want the committee to do specifically. Do we have a... Do we do a poster? A flyer?
Can we get him on CUV with our class campus?
Mm-hmm. The communication... Yeah, the ComCom can work on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just be in communication with you, and we can figure out what you want us to do to support you in that. And so the EA survey, we'll work up a plan, a communications plan on that. If everybody thinks we still want to do that, I was thinking maybe we could put it out in like January or February. And basically it's just to gauge perception of the EA and the effectiveness of our communication with staff. So if anybody thinks that's a good idea, we'll move forward on that. And that will, if we engage institutional research, it will cost a little bit of money. They charge by the hour. So I just wanted them to help us with the survey questions, and then I'll probably have them actually send the survey out, because we wouldn't want to send it out. We want to have a neutral party send that out. So. The other thing we were tossing around in ComCom was, do we need a logo? Does the EA need a logo?
Keep coming back to the logo.
Keep coming back to the logo. Thought, no? Thought, ideas? Do we need more of an identity? Or some sort of visual identity?
You're a marketing expert. What is your opinion?
Yes, what is yours and Jenna's opinion?
Yeah.
Well... I mean, my inclination is that we need all the help we need all the help we can get.
Yes.
We have those typos we printed, and we could put those out more instead of sitting in Amy's office.
Yeah.
Bring our banner to the president's address, or move the banner around campus. Each of us take it in our lobbies for a while.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
But we didn't really use a logo for that, right?
No, we did not have a logo.
All right, well, we'll talk about it at ComCom, but...
What does the committee think?
Well, I think we were leaning towards a logo, and Steve, I can't remember his last name now. Yes, offered to design it, so... But that's the other thing, is we have to kind of figure out what we want it to be.
Well, he's really good at coming up with a lot of different kinds of ideas.
Right.
I think it would be good to see what he has to come up with.
Yeah.
Okay.
It may help us brand ourselves better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will report back after our meeting.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Levon, you want to talk about education?
Yep. So right now,
there are four members, me, Melissa, Catherine, and Kristen Ferry. She was an EA member last mm-hmm. year, and she expressed interest. Kristen? She is in the lead program.
Maybe she's on the committee last year, Kristen Ferry?
No, she wasn't.
2009. I don't know if she said she was on the EA or the committee.
Probably on the committee. She does a lot of committee stuff, but I don't.
I think she was EA, wasn't Kristen?
Or maybe UA, yeah.
Yeah,
so it's for her, and we have met on October 17th from 11:30 to 12:15 in Trillium. That was our first meeting. First meeting was basically just a warm up, and we thought that education committee should be an active voice like EA towards creating awareness of existing educational opportunities and encouraging employees to pursue them. And we also kind of came to a consensus that many employees are not aware that they can actually use the 4-credit free extramural course
mm-hmm.
to pursue something related to their coursework or otherwise
mm-hmm.
with supervisory support. And in yesterday's meeting at Trillium, 12 to 12:40 p.m., three issues. The first one was about pooling resources. So Kristen was mentioning that the benefits website has a very nice blurb for employee degree programs, what you would like to do, how you go about with that, as well as how you get a degree from colleges other than Cornell, but nothing really regarding the professional development courses. I mean, if you don't want to study anything more, but just want to get, you don't want to get a degree, but just want to move ahead in your career.
Mm-hmm.
So about certifications, I don't think there is a link or a database that's a comprehensive listing. So I think we should work on that. And another most important thing about creating a small survey, nothing fancy, maybe you can SurveyMonkey, because I have a list of EDP candidates. It is available on the benefits website from 2009, not the most recent. And I sent an email to benefits regarding getting a list of EDP candidates, but I'm not sure how quickly they'll be able to give me that information. So we thought if we could send a small survey to this candidate pool who have already graduated,
mm-hmm.
either from Cornell or from other colleges, and we were actually thinking about what kind of questions we should have there, and wanted to take EA's permission to be able to do this kind of a survey.
Can I make a recommendation? That instead of using SurveyMonkey, you use the program that the university supports, which is called Qualtrics, Qualtrics. The university actually discourages SurveyMonkey because of security issues with it.
They're similar.
Yeah, it's a simple survey.
And I mean, last meeting we didn't get a chance to talk with Mary regarding the education committee. So I just wanted to ask people on the EA if there is any HR policy regarding supervisory support for employees who want to pursue educational opportunities.
Do you know, Fish?
It's really up to the supervisor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they encourage supervisors to do it where possible and to provide flexibility for people, but business,
they say
you're an employee before you're a student.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the day, the way that it's
sometimes it relates to whether it relates to your job or not, whether you have to take time, cut time or not.
But there is no specific policy on that.
And as I said, the supervisor has to allow, but the policy is that they should
try, encourage.
But that business needs to come first. That's what the policy basically says.
Get the primary job done first.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's almost the same as being a member of the EA.
Mm-hmm.
And all the issues we have with Pempa,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not guaranteed that you can even be here. And then whether you're endowed or non-endowed or exempt or non-exempt, it's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it comes down to a question of, you know, if your class is at 6 o'clock at night and you work till 4:30, your supervisor can't, you know, say anything to you. But if it's at 8:30 in the morning, you know, you've got to get permission. And some jobs, I'm certain, can be flexible. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to my class and I'm going to stay till 6 o'clock. And some jobs, you know, I'd imagine if you're a receptionist and they're counting on you answering the phone, you may not have that same flexibility.
Which is important.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some departments can be very creative about finding ways to make that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing is that we're not really an open class institution.
Right.
Classes are usually done by a lot before.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it very challenging if someone's trying to take coursework. work here.
Mm-hmm. And some of the questions, prospective questions we were thinking about were because they had already graduated and had taken educational benefits from Cornell, how did you get acquainted with those educational opportunities? What kind of supervisory support they got? And whether their interest was to get a degree or for professional advancement, if they were aware of both. Challenges of studying and working full-time, concerns faced, were they able to resolve them or how did they resolve them? Mm-hmm. And scope for improvement, as well as suggestions to future aspirants. But another thing we also wanted to ask was, what do you suggest about including supervisors of the already graduated candidate for the survey? Is that a good idea? Is that feasible?
You need to ask some different questions, I would think, than those.
You know, I think something along the lines of, you know, how did it work having an employee out of the office? How did that work for you? How did you make arrangements?
Catherine had brought up this very viable reason that it is important to know what the supervisor's perspective is regarding this, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's like a yes or no from their side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we thought it will make sense to know what they are thinking. Mm-hmm.
But we haven't even talked about the kind of questions. We know that you would have to ask the kind of questions. We didn't discuss that yesterday.
It might be, if you're going to do supervisory, not just those who supported, but those just the general supervisory, to say, have you ever had an employee
right.
who asked mm-hmm. you this? You know, if yes, did you grant this? If no, why not? And
right.
to try to understand that, too. So it might be better to not even attach it to those who've gone, but just do the mini supervisory.
It would be nice to be able to capture that. You know, are there just a couple that maybe can't be accommodated, or is there a certain, maybe we see a certain group that are seeing the night that...
But then, even then, it's hard to tell why. I mean, that maybe not that they're not supportive, but because all their employees have to be there at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to think about that.
Yeah. You guys are off to a good start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good start. Labanya, if you have certain things you want to highlight in the EAE news regarding, you know, like if you just want to pull a blurb off of there and say, hey, you know, do you know that you can take 4 credits or whatever it is?
Sure.
Just write up little paragraphs for me and just send them to me, and I'll include them in the next.
Yep, I will.
Which I'm not sure when that's going to be. Maybe different beginning of December.
Other education?
And two more questions was, Kristen mentioned that one of the previous education committee members had this issue about difference in reimbursement. I mean, there was no proportional change in reimbursement when you graduate from other colleges other than Cornell. So we just wanted benefits to highlight what exactly the change is.
I don't think there's a change, but we talked about that last year. I have to go back and look in my notes, and I can. Yeah, I remember that, and there was something, but I don't.
Are you talking about reimbursement for classes you take off campus?
Yes.
I think
that doesn't seem to have changed since a couple of years.
It hasn't changed in
right.
many years.
It hasn't changed, and basically, now I'm worried. The answer that we pretty much got back is, we have a finite pot of money. Where are we going to put our money? Do we increase the education benefit and decrease the health benefit and make the employee pay more out of their pocket? You know, so it's a finite pool, and we can't do everything. So that was kind of the...
It's based on a percentage of the current per credit hour rate at TCC.
Right.
So like 80%
of a T, right?
Yeah, and so as TC3's tuition goes up, hypothetically, that's supposed to be going up proportionally with what TC3 charges. That's my first.
Yeah. But I can go and pull my notes, and I can email you back that. Anything else? Okay, Gemma, you wanna give a quick update on how the CARE Fund did?
The auction was great. We set a goal of $10,000. The auction that was done in 2006, they raised $6,000. So we decided to set a goal at $10,000, and the online brought in $5,700. The live auction brought in $5,260. Then we had the 50-50 pizza, and that brought in $260. And we also had this little thing at the men's and women's hockey game that brought in $1,800. We were at about $13,000. And
then all our other advertising we've done because of the flood and just the regular payroll deductions to get people to donate, we've brought in another 6,000.
Fine.
Yeah, we did help 47 flood people. So that's pretty big. And each person got, Mary wants them each to get $1,500. So that's a lot of money. So I don't even know how much is left in the account after getting 47 applicants. Don't you know, Linda?
I'm not sure. I think that there was a little bit of a separate fund.
Yeah, but Mary did help us with some of the fund.
Yeah, with the flood. Mm-hmm. So I think that whatever we've raised is now refreshed the fund somewhat.
And we've had 102 applications all together in the 1 year.
Yeah.
Not even the whole year.
In the last 12 months.
Wow. How many are being approved?
Not
minus the flood.
It's probably half.
Yeah, I'd say probably half. Well, it's been probably just slightly more than half, because a lot of times we'll give people just at least a tiny bit if it's kind of borderline. So I'd say our acceptance rate is probably 2/3 getting something, and probably a third doesn't. Just that plain old doesn't qualify.
Has there been any thoughts about re-meeting to define the criteria in order to define it?
We did.
We broadened it out significantly because preceding 2 years, I don't think we had given out even one.
That was just last year, wasn't it?
It was like November that we really started.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did the hard go out around January.
Right.
So we really have only been going since January with the broadened. The broadened criteria. The one thing that we did decide to do is we had increased the cap award and we lowered it because we felt it was better to be able to give to more people than less people a bigger award. So we had originally put it at $2,500.
Yeah,
we did the $1,500.
Yeah.
And it had been 1,000, right?
It was 500.
Or 500.
Yep.
So we're still giving a decent amount that helps.
I just wanted to say one quick thing. It's still about the CARE Fund. Bridget had a great idea. She's going to do a fundraiser for a Christmas elf thing, and we're going to try and find one of the families that applied to the CARE Fund. And a lot of them, the criteria is if you're not paying your bills or you're not managing your money or whatever, you really can't get. Those are some of the people we've turned down, but just to read their applications is heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to try and pick one of those families instead of. I know, when you do other ELF people, they're not always within the Cornell community.
Mm-hmm.
So we could probably help you find, if your department's going to do something like that, we could probably help you find a family that is in Cornell.
Yeah, there's a couple of them I know.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is, I'm not sure if it's going to be just our floor in Roberts or all of Roberts Hall. We're pick the day and we're going to do brown bag lunch and pie day. And each person will bake a pie. You buy a slice of pie for $1, the money that we raise will then go towards purchasing gifts for this family.
Okay.
In the past, we've done a Pie Day celebration on just our floor, and we've raised over $100 that we gave to the food bank. So this year, I thought we would do it towards
holiday time.
Cool. If anybody is doing something like that, I'm sure that I don't know the name that Linda knows. The applicant, when they come in, I don't get to see him. But
yeah, that's the one who has the name.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a very nice call for him to be able to make some of them if we weren't able to help us get into the criteria.
Just make sure the family celebrate.
Yes.
Yes.
I know there's a large trouble with population.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, but no, they don't celebrate holidays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, we're just about out of time. So I will just quickly pass around. The means restriction follow-up was just to see if we wanted to, they clearly asked for some support, so do we want to forward another resolution saying that we continue to support the new plan that they have in place for the bridges. So, all right, so we'll work on something for that. Amy, did you leave those on the table? So a resolution for the COM committee chair to be part of the executive committee. So if people can take a look at that, if you have any, it's fairly straightforward. And what Ari had recommended is that that's his language. And Ari, maybe you can speak a little to it, but changing the way that we have it in there so we don't have to have the president's approval in the future every time we want to make this kind of change.
Right. So basically we've
done a bunch of charter revisions over the last few years, and the EA was one of the first ones, and we've learned some lessons subsequently. So when Tanya approached me about preparing language for a fairly small, simple change of making the vice chair part of the making communications part of the e-board and dividing responsibilities that way, what we've learned from the other assemblies' charter processes is that it's a lot cleaner to have the charter be just the part that the president needs to approve and everything else be bylaws. So there's a lot of stuff in the EA charter that could be bylaws, and it's not like the president wants to review things that he doesn't have somebody in the council's office telling him he really needs to review. So basically what he needs to review is the authority of the assembly, the membership policy, and the amendment procedure. And things like the officers and the committees are all internal procedures that really don't require that kind of external check on them. So we're pretty confident that he'll be supportive of that change as well. And if we do these two things at the same time, it, two birds with one stone, I guess.
What's the second thing? Taking out sections? Into bylaws?
Well, literally moving them into bylaws.
Yeah.
So not changing them, just
moving them.
Moving them.
So people can take a look at this. And if you have any tweaks to the language, if you can send those to me by Monday, and then I can email a draft out to everyone, and that'll be a week before our next meeting, and perhaps we can vote on it if there isn't too much discussion. If people have any clear objections or anything, let me know that too, and then we'll just make sure we have time to discuss our next meeting. And we are out of time, so unfortunately we can't discuss the Togo Awards or the Africana situation, but if people get an opportunity to read the essays, resolution, if anybody wants to have a couple copies, to see if anybody wants to look at that, and it's also on the essays website, but there's concern, obviously, about the appointment of the chair, and,
the chair of the search committee, faculty search committee, not the chair of Africana.
Right, but the chair of the search committee, and
what does that have to do with staff? Very little.
It has very little to do with staff, except that some staff may feel the same way about him. And it's just a question of if we feel that there's any need for us to do anything. If nobody feels strongly about it, we'll just take it right off the table. Is that a yes we don't feel? Okay.
Okay. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.